Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. Demoris Smith is going to join us in just about an hour. He's the former executive director of the NFLPA.
He literally...
Have they had a couple of different NFL directors since he...
Yes,
retired.
Well, their guy already got lost his job.
Yeah, he got dismissed.
Yeah, already he had to step down or whatever.
What did he do?
Well,
again?
There were issues about like,
all kinds of stuff,
like strip club expenses that were getting billed back to the.
Oh, okay.
Back
he
to
also
the NFLPA.
Wasn't acknowledging other companies that were compensating him for things.
Like conflicts of interest.
A little bit shady.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great run for that guy. Okay. Can't remember his name, but I can look him
Howell,
up.
Maybe Lloyd Howell.
Howell. Lloyd
Howell.
I think you're right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, Lloyd.
Then there's been some turmoil there with like J.C. Treader, whatever, you know, a bunch of guys there like on the board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but kind of a mess. God, he's got to be so thankful that he's
out of that business.
Just out of that hornet's nest.
He did it 14 years.
That's a long time.
He made a lot of money.
Oh, he made
they actually
made
publicized
so much money.
His salaries, and I counted it up. Right. He did a good job.
Write down a piece of paper the total that he made.
He won't want it.
Made
it public.
That's what I'm not going to say.
You write
it.
Down your total, and I'm going to write down what I'm guessing he.
I'm guessing
he
it. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm guessing
because
about,
this is what no. this is one of
can
our
I say
specialties.
What I think he was making?
No, just
I don't want to see the number yet.
It changed wildly towards the end, but
I don't want to see that number.
This is the total.
Roughly, very roughly.
All right, 14 years.
Yes.
Good Lord.
I'm going to say.
Good Lord. There it is right there.
I'm going to look. I'm writing down a number.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm going to hand this number to you. Tell me if this is close. Or am I
no,
low?
No, you're way
let
over.
Let me see.
I'm way over?
Yeah. Turn it over because I think he was underpaid. He was underpaid for the first seven or eight years. Look at it.
It's about half of that. It's still a good number.
I'd love to make that number.
That's great.
That's an amazing number.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
It's great.
I love D.
He's a good dude. So anyway, he'll be in at 9 o'clock. And by the way, he constantly references like us, like we were kind of like part of the battle there when they initially were locked out and they had us there and we're interviewing Drew Brees and everybody. And, you know, D was just like brand new to the job.
At the NFLPA headquarters.
Yeah. It was like their D-Day or whatever. It was like a big day.
A big day.
And for whatever reason,
I also remember too. I distinctly remember this. It was the same day of that huge like tsunami in Japan.
Same day. And we were watching it on the news.
Yep.
Well, D put out a bunch of pictures on social media from that day, and like we didn't even really have gray hair yet. Like I had like brown hair.
Yeah,
right.
That's how long ago it was.
And also, still not photogenic and just awful. No, but. You know.
Especially if we were taking a picture with dreamy Drew Brees, which I don't know if we did or not. But
well, he was sitting there with
us. Probably wouldn't want to do that.
And a bunch of others.
Doesn't D teach a class at Pepperdine or UCLA? Is it Pepperdine?
Pepperdine, I think he's done for a while. And he did one at Yale, I think.
I remember that Yale, yeah.
Yeah. I remember when he got a house he was renting out there. And the word around some of my buddies is, wow, we just got a house out in Southern California now.
Very nice. A crash pad.
It's got a crash pad
in like Malibu.
I'm not sure if he bought it or he's renting it. But either way.
I hope it didn't burn in those wildfires last year, whenever that was.
So, Jason, you can explain. You're more the college football guy. I love college football, some of the big games. But I'm not sitting there locked in every week on the biggest games of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll follow the Terps. I'll follow some of the big ones. But, you know, I guess from a viewer perspective, right, they've added Dave Portnoy to the Big Noon kickoff.
That's right.
I guess he's supposed to kind of be their antidote to Pat McAfee, right, for whatever.
Yeah, he's going
to
be the personality.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they got Matt Leinart, and they've got Brady Quinn. And
I mean, those guys are boring. I mean, they're nice guys, but they're boring.
Yeah.
It's Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess there's a little bit of controversy because for the November 1 Penn State-Ohio State game, Ohio State fans are pissed off because they, I guess, have scheduled a big blackout, and it's going to be, obviously, a Big Noon kickoff. And they're like, it's so stupid. Why are we doing a blackout during a day game? That's so dumb.
Yeah, it seems like a night game bit.
Yeah. It's more of a night game bit.
But they
and
don't
that's
care.
At Ohio State, or
I yes. believe so. Yes,
it's at Ohio State.
Yes,
they hate Portnoy because he's a Michigan guy,
right?
So they're gonna just have animosity.
That'll be weird too.
From the outset,
I'm sure he'll probably be wearing Michigan gear.
Oh, I would imagine he would
be. Typically does.
Yes, yeah. That's probably gonna be his move.
Well, their first game, Ohio State's first game, is a big noon game because they're playing Texas right. on Saturday, August 30th,
uh-huh.
and that's a noon kickoff on Fox.
See, I don't like that. Like a game that's that big should be in prime time, in my opinion. Like, why are you wasting that game at noon on a Saturday?
Because this was the whole problem last year. Ohio State played seven straight noon games because that is Fox's prime spot where they dominate.
Yep.
So they get the rights. They have the rights. They tell Ohio State when they're going to play, and they want Ohio State on because Ohio State's going to get the most numbers.
So Fox is
going to put their big game at noon most of the time.
So does Fox think that I guess they must have proven over the years they get a better rating at noon than having it at prime time?
The big noon kickoff, they've built a great brand around that.
Yeah. Okay.
Because a lot of the other big games are going to be in prime time,
okay, so
you're not
they
battling.
They want to own that spot.
Yeah.
They want to own that
portion
years,
of the calendar. You had SEC, CBS at 3:30. Mm-hmm. You had ABC night games.
7 or 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that the SEC is now on ESPN instead mm-hmm. of CBS.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Me too.
That 3:30 window that I knew you're going to get that CBS college football music, and then they're going to do the overhead shot of, you know, like Bryant-Denny Stadium, or the overhead shot of Auburn or Death Valley at LSU. Now it's the Big Ten, and even though I'm a Terps guy, it just loses a little something.
It's not the same
to me.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'll get used to it. I'll get used to it.
I agree with you. I liked the SEC on CBS, but I just like the fact
I'm
watching the games.
It would be Gary Danielson and who's his sidekick? Danielson and
Vern.
Oh, yeah, Vern.
Well, Vern's been gone
No.
for...
No, it was for a long time.
It was,
but who am I missing?
Yeah, there's the play-by-play guy with Gary Danielson. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just spacing his name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's interesting.
What's the first must watch college football game?
Well, Texas, Ohio State,
Texas on that Saturday.
Yeah,
yeah.
Also, kind of making the rounds. It's interesting.
But LSU Clemson's that same week, mm-hmm. same day. And that's a 7:30 game on ABC, and then there's a couple other big games too.
Colin Cowherd, I guess, he's he's gone viral again. He's making waves again. Remember. He trashed John Wall for dancing.
For doing the Dougie. On his Wizards debut.
He has a lot of...
And I hated his guts forever after that. He attacked my guy.
Yeah, he has a lot of sort of I don't know, bizarre takes
on...
He's
got old guy, bias towards...
Yeah, and I do, too.
Younger people doing young people things.
I do, too, to an extent, I have to admit. But he's now, I guess he's attacked Brian Schottenheimer for doing his pressers. He's doing a Dan Quinn bit with his hat backwards, but it's a visor. So he's holding court.
I just did a visor last week. It's a tough look to pull off.
Well, yeah, but a backwards.
Front or back.
Backwards hat visor, even a little more sort of youthful, mm-hmm. right? Now, what is Brian Schottenheimer now? Probably in his mid-40s.
Got to be. I
actually think he looks pretty good. But he's attacking him, I guess, for being the head guy mm-hmm. and wearing the backwards visor. And Schottenheimer alludes to it.
Shotty's 51.
Oh, he's 51.
Yep.
He alludes to it and says, oh, my bad. Sorry, Colin Cowherd. And turns the visor around mm-hmm. as he's holding court there in training camp. What is Cowherd's deal? He's just that old guy.
He's just an old geezer.
Mm-hmm.
He's just shaking his fist at everybody that doesn't do things the way he wants them done.
Right.
I would guess.
I have to admit that at times the Dan Quitt hat backwards thing has somewhat irked me. Somewhat.
That doesn't bother me.
But it is who he is.
Yeah.
Literally is who he is.
Yeah.
Let's rock.
It's his vibe.
Hat backwards. That's just.
And he's been doing it for
let's
years.
Let's get rocking the whole thing. Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
That's just who he is. It doesn't matter that he's in his mid-50s now or whatever.
It doesn't bother me one bit that D DQ yeah. or Shoddy have their hat backwards.
I think he's our age.
I mean, look through the glass. We've got Drab and Mike Marr, both backwards hat guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're jokes.
We're not the head coach.
We're not a head coach. If CK or,
right.
you know, our CEO was wearing a backwards hat to work, that'd be a bad look.
Or it might just be their style.
It'd be a bad look.
It is their style.
It is their style, but it would also be a bad look. You got to dress appropriate.
Do you have a problem with Quinn?
No, I mean, it doesn't really bother me. But here's the thing. I always appreciate Coward's takes because he's so well prepared and he sticks to his guns and he's just a radio professional. So to me, I always get a kick out of it. And he beats himself up a lot because he always does where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's fine. He's just.
Give me some other ones where he's been out there. So it was the John Wall thing. Yeah,
the Stafford's backwards hat.
The what?
Matt Stafford backwards hat. That was his big thing like 15 years ago.
All right.
He said he would never win because he's
a backwards hat guy.
I think he was kind of right. I mean, until he was on a loaded team.
I think it's about your results. If you're killing it, you can wear your hat however you want.
Right.
Like if the CEO of NVIDIA came out to his presentation to his shareholders and was wearing a backwards hat, all I would do if I were him, I would point at the share price and tell you what it's done over the last 5 or 10 years. And I'd wear my backwards hat all day long.
Well, that's why Bill Belichick could wear a cutoff hoodie because he's Bill Belichick.
Right.
Brian Schottenheimer hasn't won anything.
So you have to have this big glowing resume.
I kind of think you got to earn it. You got to earn it a little bit.
So like Steve Jobs could wear like the jeans and a turtleneck.
Oh, he could wear whatever he wanted.
He was Steve Jobs.
Yeah, he was a freaking genius.
But the next guy, Tim Cook.
Tim, he might want to scale it down.
He has to dress a little bit more normal.
If Tim Cook took over for Steve Jobs when he stepped down and he came in on his first day of work wearing a backwards hat, you'd be like, I'm selling that stock. This guy's a dog. Right?
I don't know. I might wait for the first earnings report. Then I'd hold out a bit. See what's doing.
I have to admit, man, I do have old man tendencies. So I remember, I've said to you a million times, when the Terps came out with their new Maryland Pride stuff, you liked it because you're a uniform guy.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. And then I grew to love it, and then they took it away.
Did David Field ever wear a backwards hat to any earnings calls?
No, he was always dressed up whenever I saw him.
David who?
Yeah. He's the guy that used to run this company. His family ran
this
company. That's
very Radio Insider.
Own this company.
Radio Insider.
Cakes, Brad Nessler. That's who was
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Thank you.
Right. And then I don't know if he's being serious or if he's just having fun with it. But Aaron Donald apparently on social media has he's kind of raised some eyebrows by insinuating that if Micah Parsons is actually available now and the Rams found a way to acquire him, that he'd come out of retirement to play with Micah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he'd be 34 years old. He hasn't played since, I think, 2023. Would Aaron Donald, after having sit out, you know, a year and a half or so, would he be still an impactful player?
I think he'd still be a beast.
Yeah.
He's got a
might take him a few games, but he'd still be really good. But I think it's safe to say he's not going to be playing again because Micah Parsons isn't going to the Rams.
If I were the Rams, I'd be more concerned with Matt Stafford's back.
Yeah.
And the fact that he has like a herniated disc and he's already having issues before even the first game has started.
Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy Garoppolo, he can be fine as a backup, but do you really want him starting a dozen games for you?
I did a few years ago because that's my boy, but not anymore.
You bailed on him.
Yeah.
I bailed on him.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't produce. He was playing like a backup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that is a big deal.
You mentioned his back, and we talked earlier about Anthony Richardson, you know, with the pinky and everything. Who's like, of all the guys that are going to play tonight, who's the one, if they got hurt, would be the most impactful?
For the Commanders?
Yeah, you're assuming 90% of the starters aren't going to play. Would it actually be Bill? If Bill got hurt, would that be the most distressing injury?
I think the most distressing would be Connerly. If Connerly goes out for two series and his knee.
I think Jalen Lane got hurt, I think that would be bad.
Yeah, because...
I mean, if he's going to be your number one punt returner.
Yeah.
And I think they want
anybody at receiver.
I think they want to sprinkle in Jalen Lane outside of punt and kick returns into the offense. They want to use that explosive ability.
Especially when they don't have Terry.
Yes.
Certainly.
So I think any of those second team receivers, if any of those guys got hurt, that would be bad.
I think it'd be bad if we lost Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be great.
And Bill, like, yeah, I would agree if Bill went down.
I think Bill or Jalen Lane would be the most disappointing just because they're the new toys that you don't get to see. If one of those guys all of a sudden, you know, their knees turned sideways, like that poor Ravens corner.
I felt so bad.
I have an unhealthy infatuation with Bill Crosby Merritt. I'll just get right out there.
That's all because of your fantasy stuff. You're just locked up with fantasy.
I just feel like if
you hate B Rob for whatever reason.
I don't hate B Rob.
No, you hate him.
I just know
he's your biggest whipping boy. I hope he rushes for 1,500 yards.
Well, I'll take that bet.
I'm not going to bet that he does, but I'm rooting for it.
I mean, I would even.
You're so mean to him.
I'm not mean to him. I'm a football realist. I know that his time with the Commanders is short.
Well, who cares? Let's just think about this season.
I want to see the guy who's going to eventually take his place.
Why don't you give him a chance to maybe have a breakout season?
B-Rob?
Yeah. Maybe
but
have one.
But, you need two RBs. You need there's
need
only
more
so many
than two RBs.
There's only so many Derrick Henrys. You need two guys.
Trust me, I know that you're splitting the pie up a bunch of ways with RBs. This is not like the 90s where guys get 25 to 28 carries.
Right.
I'm well aware of that.
So you kind of have to rely on B-Rob.
I just want to see Crosby Merritt develop because I just don't think – well, I know that B-Rob's not going to be on the roster in 2026.
Okay, but this is
– I know these
things.
This
is 2025. You're jumping ahead.
I know.
If he agrees to like a very reasonable contract that wouldn't hurt them at all? Like a one-year, two-year deal. Very reasonable.
I don't see that happening. If that happens, I will eat all of the humble pie.
Right.
But I just don't see that happening. I think he is looking for – probably a bigger role on a different team. That's my guess.
I don't know who would give it to him, though. That's
I don't know who would give it to him either.
So then you're back to square one. If nobody's going to give it to you, and then they offer you like some sort of like fairly minimal deal.
You may have to take whatever they offer if there's not a market out there for him.
Right. Don't rule it out. All I'm saying
develops.
Is don't rule it out.
I will not.
You got this guy in Siberia next year.
All right, when we get back, we will do EB's entertainment page. And don't forget, D. Smith will join us in studio coming up at 9 a.m. here on The Fan.